Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of the LDM show. So we're back with Brother Hamza. Assalamu alaikum, bro.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, bro? Good?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, inshallah. So let's get into it. We're going to be addressing another common contention put out by Christians and atheists and so on. So foreign words, right? The Quran claims that it's in the pure Arabic, but then there's this contention that's brought forth by these people that, well, there's some foreign words. So let's get into it. What would you say regarding that?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Essentially, you have some atheists and Christians and skeptics and genuine people who actually want to engage with the Quran. They're saying that there is a contradiction. The Quran says, Arabiyun Mubin. This Quran is pure, clear Arabic, okay? But yet they say there is an apparent contradiction because some words in the Quran have foreign origins. And I have a list here. Some include the mount. If you take chapter 95 verse 2, it's from the Syriac. Take the word heavy in Quran 18 verse 31, it's from the Persian language. Take for example, brilliant, Quran 24 verse 35, it's from Abyssinian. Take for instance the word the inscription, it's from Quran 18 verse 9, it's from the Greek, and so on. So they're saying, how can this book be from the divine? Because on one hand, it's saying it's Arabiyun Mubin, it is pure, clear Arabic. But on the other hand, there are words that are not pure Arabic. They have foreign origins. We can easily address this. The first thing we have to add, though, is to inform our brothers and sisters in Islam and in humanity that we have to be nuanced, okay? We can't accept everything that we see on the internet from an atheist or a Christian or a truth seeker. We have to be nuanced from the point of view that's to scratch the surface and understand what the implications of what they are saying and to find out if what they are saying is actually true. So when we study linguistics and we see the nature of languages and we study the nature of languages, we will realize that there is a linguistic phenomena in all languages, and this is called linguistic borrowing, okay? Linguistic borrowing. For example, if you go to the works of Yule, I have the reference here, The Study of Language, published by Cambridge University Press, you would see that all languages, since they trade or they engage in war, that they share terms and they share languages, or they will take a certain particular term and adopt it into their language. This adoption of this word, for example, this term, is called the naturalization process or the nativization process. Take, for example, words in the English language. Take the dictionary. It's an English dictionary, right? I go to P and I find the word philosophy. And what does it say? It says it comes from the Greek. Does that now mean it's not an English dictionary, it's a Greek dictionary? No. Because you know the word philosophy has been adopted by the English language and it has been naturalized. It has been naturalized in the English language, or it's gone through the nativization process. It's part of the English language. Right. But we know philosophy means philo and sophia. Philo in Greek is the love of or like, and sophia means wisdom, so the love of wisdom. But it comes from the Greek, therefore it's not an English dictionary anymore. Right. Obviously we can't say that because we know this word has been adopted by the English language. The linguistic borrowing, yes, has occurred, but there is a naturalization of that word. And right. Now therefore philosophy is an English word.
Yep.
This is why Imam Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on him, he actually said all the foreign words in the Quran that have foreign origins, which are only a few, these words were already adopted and naturalized in the Arabic language.
Right.
The nativization process already occurred and then revelation came. Right. So it's not as if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon whom be peace, just took some words that no one knew from different languages and just put them into the Quran. No, they were words that were already naturalized, or the nativization process already occurred. So these words, although they have foreign origins, they're still part of the Arabic language.
Sure.
Now some people say, but look at some Sahaba, some companions of the Prophet Muhammad upon whom be peace. Some of them never knew the meanings of certain words. But that doesn't mean anything. For example, if I pick up a book, let's take a book on Political Philosophy by Daniel Bell. Communitarianism and its critics. It's a book in English. Mm-hmm. It's not Chinese, is it?
No,
or Arabic.
Yeah, it's quite clear.
So I bet I could find a word that I don't know the meaning of. Take, for example, I don't know.
Any word.
Ontology.
Okay.
I know the meaning of that word, but say I didn't. Now, ontology, just because I don't know the meaning of ontology, mm-hmm. does it mean now that therefore that must be a foreign word? Mm-hmm. No, it means I just don't know the meaning. And some sahaba, some companions, not all of them were linguists par excellence from that perspective. So just because some companions of the Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, did not know certain meanings of certain words, it doesn't now follow mm-hmm. that the Prophet, upon whom be peace, took those particular words from other languages.
Sure.
No, because we know that Bedouins knew the meaning of those words. We know that scholars and Arabs in the first 3 centuries of Islam knew the meaning of those words. So it follows that they were part of the Arabic language. Another point to add is a point from Suyuti, the famous scholar, may Allah have mercy on him. He says, with reference to the statement, Arabiyun Mubin, this is pure clear Arabic, it refers to the fact that it's pure in terms of the Arabic language, but it also means that just because there are few foreign words in there, it doesn't make it any less pure.
Sure.
And I think he uses the example of a Persian poem. Imagine you have a Persian poem of 100 lines, and in those lines there are few foreign words, say of French. Mm-hmm. Does it now mean that poem is not in Persian?
Of course not, the majority is in Persian.
Exactly, so exactly. It doesn't dilute it per se. And we should add as well that the statement Arabiyun Mubin is in a general form. So it refers to the Quran as a whole and not to specific words within the Quran.
Right.
So whatever angle you look at it, it is not a valid contention. It's not a contradiction at all. When we understand the nature of languages, there is linguistic borrowing, there is naturalization of foreign words that become part of the language. There is the fact that even if there are few foreign words in a particular text, it doesn't make it any less pure concerning its original language. For example, a few French words in a Persian poem doesn't make it any less Persian. And also the statement itself, Arabiyun Mubin, the fact that the Quran is pure Arabic, is in a general form, general statement, and therefore it doesn't specifically refer to every single word in
sure.
the Quran itself. But let me just summarize everything by just making, not a joke, but just a crude example. Say, for example, I were to pick
another book,
and it's called The History of the Arabs, okay, in the English language by Philip K. Hitti. And I look into this book and I find a Arab word. And now I close the book and I now say, this book is not in the English language because there's one Arab word in it. Or we say there's a contradiction. It claims that it's published by a publisher called Macmillan International College Editions or something, wherever the publisher is, and it's in the English language. Mm-hmm. How dare they say it's in the English language when we have one Arabic word in all this book? Yes. Do you see?
It sort of shows our irrelevant contention, I guess.
What it is, I mean, to be fair to these people who have this contention, they haven't thought carefully about what's going on here. They haven't thought carefully at all because, one, they don't understand the Quran, they don't understand the sciences of the Quran, usul tafsir, or the principles of exegesis and related sciences in the Quran, because we know a lot of statements in the Quran are general.
Yes.
And they are specified with other statements, or since they have a general context, they can be specified by reality itself, and that's the reality of what languages are about. And also, if we understood the nativization process, linguistic borrowing or naturalization of foreign words into
yep.
languages, we would understand that it's a natural phenomenon that happens everywhere.
Sure.
And therefore, just because we find the word philosophy in an English dictionary, it doesn't mean that word is not English anymore.
If you would apply that criteria, you would say the English, you can't call the English language English anymore.
Exactly, because if we apply the criteria of those people who have this contention to the English language, we would say the English language is not English.
It doesn't exist.
Because English comes from a bit of Spanish, Arabic, Latin, Greek, French. It's a pidgin language. It's
yeah.
it's a cocktail. But anyway, I think that clears it up.
That really clears up. JazakAllah khair, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum salam.